96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, June 4th. And it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. It's outside. It's raining outside. It's wet and the roads are flooded. And because of that, my guest is running late. We're going to have in studio Mrs. Beryl Strawn, who actually just published a book. Mind you, Miss Beryl Strawn is a distant cousin of mine. I've never met her before, right? When you know you doing family trees, I see this name from somewhere. And you check it and say, yeah, this is family. But anyway, she has published a book called Tales of Guanahani. And we're going to be talking about that, right? And actually, we have a number of Bahamians who are just writing like crazy. And I say, man, come. We need more authors here in the Bahamas. We need to celebrate you all and show that we are a literate society. But because Ms. Strawn is running late, and I have about 3 to 10 minutes to buy time, you didn't get to cover your Family Island thing, Erin.
Let me read it into the record.
You read it into the record and note that any minute I expect Ms. Strawn to
right,
come.
Right, so the conversation is cut. We won't be...
No, you go ahead. You do.
The Lutheran Chamber of Commerce concerned over reliable electricity and water supply. That was in the Tribune, 1st of June. As dignitaries descended on Eleuthera for the opening ceremony of Disney Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point, the island's Chamber of Commerce president, Thomas Sands, said businesses are continuously facing challenges from unreliable electricity and water services. Residents and visitors have been left hot, sweating, and in the dark for hours, he said. Quote, infrastructure is challenged, he added. Quote, it is a challenge again with growth. I think that we need a forward plan. I think the rate of growth for Eleuthera has been greater than expected. So I invite us to look and create solutions that are greater than what we planned for in the past. Great business with the water off, electricity off, and sometimes telecommunications down. Mr. Sands said adequate housing is also a challenge. Quote, we must find a solution for that, he said. Quote, we must incentivize some solutions to resolve these issues. But we need growth development in the family islands such as Abaco, Eleuthera, and Exuma. He noted his support for the opening of Disney Lookout Key, saying it has created several opportunities for, quote, different levels of professions, close quotes, on the island and the potential for others to relocate to Eleuthera. I thought that was an important story. Last year, we talked about a particular issue with BPL and foreign direct investors and large-scale development projects, where it appears the government, i.e. me, the people, are footing the bill for the power used by developments when those developments shut down and the developers leave the country with the project unfinished. Mm. Bahamians are footing the bill. I don't understand why contained in these memorandum of understandings there isn't a clause that says that the developer will be responsible not only for paying their electricity bill, but for the cost of any expansion of grid services, of services required to accommodate their project in the development stage and in the final stage. You, the developer, have to pay for that. Mm. You come into the Bahamas.
On a side note, have you heard anything about the I Group? I know under the Christie administration, we sold a lot of Crown land for $1 an acre. You know what dollar acre is?
Mm-hmm.
And they get thousands of acres, right? And then the government changed. New government came in. Government changed. And the I Group still have our Mayor Guana land. And nothing.
I rest comforted knowing that they can't pick up the land and take it with them.
Mm.
That is the only thing that gives me comfort at night when I think about these things, is that they're going to have a difficult time getting it through TSA at the airport. Because you can't take land with you. And then you just stuck with your feelings. And what feelings are you going to have knowing that you paid a dollar an acre for the land?
Mm-hmm.
And poor people on the island can't get consistent water, electricity, and communication services. And you paid a dollar an acre on the land. Sit with those feelings.
As you know, you go through land registry. and look for certain pages.
They miss it.
They miss it.
Grand Bahama and Mayaguana. Hold on, let me
miss it.
I want to send an SOS out. Grand Bahama and Mayaguana missing registry pages. If you hear my voice, follow the sound of my voice back to the registrar's office.
You go to Acklands and look for the land registry and pages are missing. Just torn out.
Yeah, just gone.
Just disappear.
You know, I got a police officer came to my house one day trying to serve me a summons for not paying a ticket. And I explained to the officer that I paid that ticket. I paid that ticket so long ago, I don't even have the receipt anymore. I don't care. You get you can get locked up. So I went to the court and I said, you know what? Let me get the ticket book. If I could get the ticket book, right, and I could find the duplicate for my receipt in there. And I spent a couple hours there and they was looking for the ticket book. And they came back and said, we can't find that ticket book. So when I took it to court, when we went to court on the matter, and I said to the magistrate, I could not bring proof because they can't find the ticket book for that time period. Magistrate dismissed that matter. Yeah? You know what I'm saying? Okay, then.
Anyway, let's go to the callers first.
Yeah, then.
I have something to read until Miss Beryl Strawn arrives, my author for today. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, I want to ask Erin Green something, but I wanted to ask her off the phone. Can she call me back?
Yeah, let her the producer.
I want to give her some knowledge that I heard insurance, which is totally incorrect.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll have the producer take your number, and she'll call you after the show.
All right. Producer, take that number for me, please.
Good.
Good stuff.
Good.
All right.
Anything else you want to read in the record?
Second article, BTC, Eleuthera sabotage was an extortion attempt. The BTC yesterday asserted that its fiber optic cables serving Eleuthera were deliberately cut in a bid to extort money from it over a land dispute. The carrier in a statement said it expected all mobile TV, internet, and fixed line voice services in impacted areas across Eleuthera to be restored within the next 24 hours after they were severed last Thursday by what it alleges is an act of sabotage. BTC's Director of Legal and Government Affairs said the near five-day service disruption stems from a dispute as to who owns the property where BTC's fiber optic cable infrastructure makes landfall in Eleuthera. The story continues in the business section.
That's a serious charge, though.
It's an absolutely serious charge. And I tell you what, it's a indicator to the judiciary that they have to also move at the pace of development in the country. Massive monoliths, these massive entities in the country, they have to pick up their pace. They have to be able to operate and adjudicate faster than they're doing right now.
I have another caller here as we wait for Ms. Beryl Strawn, author of Tales of Guanahani. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Call girl once. Call girl twice. Nope. Caller, hang up. What else you want to read in the meantime, Erin, as we wait for our guest?
There's some budget stories. I don't know if you want to go into the budget, if we just stick in the paper today. Police say missing boy seen on CCTV camera again, but no further details. I picked this up because you raised the subject last week or the week before, and there's a secondary story in today's paper. With recent missing children's reports, police urge parents to be more vigilant. Let's start with that one. Raising concerns over an uptick in missing children, police yesterday urged parents to carefully monitor their children's online behavior. Superintendent Nathaniel Gilbert, who leads the Missing and Exploited Persons Unit, said there have been instances of predators using social media profiles to lure children. Quote, parents have a mandate to police their homes, said Gilbert at a press conference. Quote, we know that we are in a technological era where kids have every gadget known to man. They're on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. Quote, we need parents to monitor who they're communicating with, who they're talking to on these social media platforms. Quote, just as there are good people out there, vice versa, you have predators, bad people on these media sites, just luring and trying to reel in these young persons. We need parents, too, when they are dropping their kids to us, what your child is saying, but we need to police our kids. We need you to circle back around and know who they're at these establishments with. Identify their friends. We also need parents while they are home to be cognizant of where their kids are. You can't be sleeping in your house in the night and your child is missing. We've had an uptick in situations like that for the whole year. Parents in their bed in the night sleeping and their children are out on the road being stopped by operation units, patrolling units, being in the company of others. Gilbert also asked parents to look for signs of depression in their children before they, quote, run away from home. The plea came after two teenage boys went missing recently. Devin Isaacs, 14, who disappeared from his Carmichael Road home nearly 3 weeks ago, has still not been found. However, last week, Commissioner of Police Clayton Fernandez said CCTV footage indicated Devin was living with someone he knows on New Providence.
See, I still have a problem with that.
No, they're still looking.
See, the sense of urgency make it seem that no problem. He has run away and that he's living with somebody.
Yeah.
There's been a cry out to say that he's missing.
Yeah.
The person who is holding
harboring
is the right word. Harboring the young boy has yet to say, hey, the police looking for you.
Right, because here's what it is.
That means it's a criminal now. It's a criminal offense.
If it was a family member, you would have said he was with another family member.
Yeah.
Or someone suspected to be a family member.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's with an adult.
He's with an adult. He's a minor with an adult.
If it were a minor who cared about his safety, that adult would have already made contact with social services in an attempt to find the parents to have a conversation and say one of probably several things. Mm-hmm. One, I suspect that this child is being physically abused in the home or sexually abused in the home. Mm-hmm. That is why the child is in my care. I need to bring this child to social services for an interview, and then y'all indicate the steps forward. But I, as a concerned adult, I'm concerned they are being physically or sexually abused in that home.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I mean, that's it. That's what you say.
Yes. But see, the idea that this child is still missing.
Right.
And you say you've seen him on CCTV and there is no mass manhunt saying this child is being abused by whoever holding, harboring them.
Right.
I would assume that this person is a killer who holding this child.
Because either they're being held by some... as a part of a gang, right? Or they are a victim of sexual violence and they're being harbored by someone who thinks themselves to be their lover when really they are a predator and a rapist.
So just casual, oh, we see him on CCTV, it's not sufficient for me.
Right, there should be a manhunt.
There should be a manhunt.
The community's for.
We should be terrified now that this nobody has turned in this child. It should be all points bulletin, we bringing him home now.
Because
shut down the all of Carmichael. Just shut it down. Beating the bushes until the bird flies. It should be doing that now.
He's only 14 years old.
See, something is wrong. And that our leaders, our police is saying, oh yeah, we see him on CCTV. That ain't enough. That ain't sufficient. That is a derelict of responsibility to children.
This is where I expect to see roadblocks.
Yeah.
You stopping cars in the community where you saw the boy on CCTV footage.
We should get pictures by now. Whoever he's traveling with, this is the babe, this is the woman he's traveling with. We want him in custody today.
Yeah.
See, there's no urgency. So I only one thing to conclude. They don't care. But let's go to the next caller here.
All right.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes. You know, I think it was yesterday morning, right, in the news, right?
Mm-hmm.
The leader of the opposition, right? He spoke about BPL, right, and how... If the government don't be transparent in the sale of BPL, if he was signed with the union, it's a human cry from the bohemians. I don't care whether they are present this in the media or not. We had a human cry. Seems like only Sea Island is against the sale of BPL, man. You know, we the PLP and the FNM is attempting to sell BPL under our noses. You know, something that doesn't work. You understand me? Look at the UK. The UK, they divested all of their public interest, right, and stuff. And the only thing that worked was in that process what's the name of the place? British Airways. Everything else failed. So why are we at behemoths accepting this foolishness? Because what is it? Because we too politically polarized?
Thank you very much, caller. Let's take a break right now. My guest is finally here, Ms. Beryl Strawn, the author of Tales of Guanahani. I just sent Erin down to go get her. I'm excited about this interview. I'm excited about what she has to offer. But thanks, everyone, for calling in and keeping me company until my guest has arrived. It's raining outside. Drive carefully, eh? We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Food. Reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM again. This is C.A. Nuri, and I'm here. My guest finally arrived. I know we had traffic issues. The roads are wet and slippery. I mean, the traffic is horrendous to see, but I'm happy. I'm happy that Miss Beryl Strawn is in-house, right? I know she brought guests with her, and so I want her to be introduced. So I'll give you the honors, and it gives detail about Ms. Beryl Strawn for me. Go ahead. Introduce yourself and then.
My name is Kayla Paul Lindsay. I am the publicist for Mrs. Strawn and for her two upcoming book signings. They're scheduled for June 13th, that's Thursday of next week, at Fort Charlotte from 12 noon until 2 p.m. And then we have another book signing scheduled for Logos Bookstore on Saturday, June 15th. And tentatively, we have one scheduled for Through the Pages, which is downtown Nassau on Father's Day, 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. Both books are really historical information and also being vetted by the Ministry of Education currently for possible inclusion into the education system here in the Bahamas for language arts and or history. That is Tales of Guanahani, which is an illustrative version of the Lucayan Indians and the history here in our country, as well as Mother Tales of Back in the Days. So I will give you a detailed history about the books, but they are both, as I mentioned, being vetted by the Ministry of Education.
And thank you very much. That's Mrs. Strawn's publicist, right? But I need to get some background information on Ms. Strawn. I'm a distant cousin of yours through Simonette's family, right? So I was excited that I can have you on air just to introduce myself formally to you. But I know you are, let me see, and see how you get that. Aaron, you got to help me. The reason why I'm going to help her, right, because I don't want to use the word senior. Because she's a matured lady who has a history of the Bahamas in a grasp. So give me a good vocabulary word besides senior. You want to help me? You can let me drown.
No, no, I'm not going to let you seasoned. You drown.
Okay, yeah, that's why you're the publicist. We have a seasoned Bahamian in my company, right? And this is why I want to do homage to you, because I know you have the experience of the Bahamas, and that's what you use for your book. But I want to give a background of you. Who is Beryl Strawn?
First of all, I'd like to say good morning. Friends, colleagues, and all of my former students, it is an honor for me to be here today. I give God all the praise and the glory. I also give thanks to my husband, Joseph Strawn, and my children, Chris, Clyde, Gerard, Anya, Kaylee, Joey, Simonette, for their verbal encouragement and financial support. They had heard all of these stories, and without them, the book would still be a draft on the shelf. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't forget to mention my grandchildren as well. However, I must single out four other persons whose names I dare not overlook. My editor, Dayon Pitter, Ernestine Grant, my illustrator, Renee Small, my encourager, and also my two granddaughters, Joanne Smith and Leah Angelia Smith. Mention of my deceased artist, Mr. Willard Capron. He is deceased now, but I am grateful for how he brought those Arawaks to life through his painting. Ladies and gentlemen, God is good. I was becoming very depressed because my marketing skills were very limited. Dayon suggested to me that I get a promoter. And here I am today.
Good. I'm excited. Yes, and I'm glad that she's here with you to help promote what you were putting through, right? It is always wonderful to have a seasoned Bohemian write and document Bohemian history, because we're lacking that. You know, if you don't remember your past, you tend to just be lost. You know, you got to be deeply rooted. And the idea that you decided in your seasoned years, right, to put pen to pad and document, I want to ask you, why did you decide to write, especially so later on in life?
I was writing a long time ago. And the thing that promoted me to write more than anything was the death of my first husband. After his death, I had to write. And there are things that I wrote that I still can't share with anybody. Mm-hmm. But I had to write then. And the death of my grandchild, I wrote. I have all those things written. Everything that was bought. And then I decided, I was a teacher for over 60 years.
Where did you teach?
I taught at, first at Our Ladies. I taught at Our Ladies for about 14 years. Then I went to Bishop Leonard, that used to be the old Sacred Heart. Then afterwards they amalgamated into Aquinas and St. Augustine's.
Catholic education system.
Yes. And then after that, after I got remarried to my wonderful husband, Joseph Strawn, I went into the public school system. I taught at H.O. Nash. And also, I was senior mistress at H.O. Nash. I left Public Service Training Center. Public Service Training Center, and also Department of Public Personnel.
Okay, so we have two books.
Mm-hmm.
I understand one is a history book about Arawaks and the history of the Bahamas.
Yes.
What's the second book?
The second book is Mother's Tales of Back in the Days.
I wouldn't hear about that because that sounds like Family Island talk.
Yes.
I already.
I didn't see you start reading.
Now, Miss Strawn, I have to ask you a question right away. Were you one of the little children that would perform for tourists at the water tower?
Yes, I was.
You used to sing, Mama don't want no peas and rice, no coconut oil.
That's right. And then after I got my money from the tourists, I'd be down to Mortimer's Candy Kitchen buying candy.
That's what you're using the tourist money for?
Yeah.
And I don't blame you.
Then we would come back up and get our buckets and either da, you won the foretell. You might know da. Da would come with the switch and switch us from the pump home. And she didn't care who child it was.
So you grew up on the Fort Hill?
I grew up on the Fort Hill. I was born and bred on the Fort Hill.
Oh, okay. You know any Francis?
Yeah, man.
Oh, my Francis family from the Fort Hill.
You know, there were two sets of Francis.
There's two sets of Francis. Kenneth Francis would have been my father-in-law. Yeah, that'll be them.
Which Francis?
Ringto Francis, the police officer.
Yeah, I know that. They were living up in the corner.
So,
Ms. Strong, these are two fabulous books. One, the history book, Tales of Guanahani, and Mother's Tales of Back in the Days, the Ice Cellar. We can go through the Ice Cellar, the Fish Man coming. But when are you going to write the book telling the childhood adventures of the Fort Hill?
That there and there.
Mother's Tales
there
are back.
And there.
So I could read this book and I could imagine all the things that Corinne and Daddy O and Ponker and
find Mrs. Thompson
and Cheryl
in the story house in front of us and beating us from the pump or rowing. Beryl, if you don't go home, I'm gonna call Miss Angie and tell her. Yeah.
People who grew up in that era or who descend from the Fort Hill should seek out this book to get this story.
Yes.
So I need to tell my sister-in-law Pat to go buy this book.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I'm going to have to buy one for Mrs. Lila Green. Look at
which Pat is that?
Pat Francis.
Oh, yeah, I knew Pat
Francis. If I could read a quick excerpt.
Yeah.
This chapter is titled Fort Fincastle.
Mm-hmm.
When I lived as a child on the Fort Hill, I took the area of my homestead for granted. Fort Fincastle, the water tower, and the Queen's Staircase, 66 steps, dominated the hilltop. And let me tell you right now how you took it for granted, ma'am, because Corinne Mitchell wouldn't let us off the side porch. It was not until years later that I realized that we resided on historical grounds. We lived within a 5-minute walking distance to the police barracks, the city of Nassau, the general hospital where I was born, and a stone's throw to the insane asylum, where we literally threw stones at the, quote, crazy residence. A mixture of interesting people lived on the Fort Hill. Entrepreneurs, contractors, horse breeders, policemen, customs officers, professional academics, nurses, a dentist, a doctor, hotel workers, cooks, and maids. They all had the common characteristics of friendliness, neighborliness, and being interested in us. In those days, neighbors were their brother's keeper. I was familiar with every person within the perimeter of the Fort Hill, and they knew me and were truly interested in who I was and what I could become.
Did you call any names in this book?
Yes, I did.
So I could identify different families in this book. So scan through and say, okay, this is my family here, and this is my family history there.
Okay. Let me read a quick excerpt. I don't know what chapter we're in now, but we can figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
One Mr. Arthur Simonette of Inagua was a contract agent who was responsible for hiring the men who were mainly industrious young men from Inagua, Acklands, and Crooked Island. And Mr. Theophilus Williams did all the recruitment in Long Key. The ships would take these men down to South America, to Cologne, Panama, and Curacao, where they would work as stevedores, unloading the freight and working on the docks. One of those men was Jerry Roker. That's why they couldn't find him in town. I'm just telling y'all what I heard. This is fantastic.
And it also gives a reference to Family Island, because we know that Long Key and Acklands was like the hub for
my
transportation.
My mother was an Acklands Islander.
What her name is?
Her name, she was a miller.
Okay.
And in addition to that, whole family was from Acklands. So the Baines, who was related to Celinda.
There's down the street from the Fort Hill there.
No, you asked me about Acklands.
No, I talked about the Beans. They're in McCullough Corner, the Pinglin family. Bean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, that was my mother's uncle.
Mm.
And that was his grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But my mother was a very poor woman, so she didn't reach out
Mm-hmm. Let me read another excerpt. Just as you said that, this chapter is called Mother's Family Line. Mm-hmm. Despite our progression to manhood and womanhood, we still look forward to the stories that Mother told. Mother was an historian who had a knack for remembering dates and events accurately. She repeatedly recounted stories of our island home. She never got tired of telling us about her family and her life in Acklands. When I think about it now, I see clearly that she did not want to relinquish that link from the past. She loved to dramatize the stories surrounding her life. Mother was born in the year 1900 on the 5th of October. We always teased her about her birthday because it was celebrated on Guy Fawkes Day. Mother celebrated while Bahamians were burning effigies of Guy Fawkes, the early day terrorist who tried to blow up the British House of Parliament. I like Mother. Mother was trying to tell you all something.
Let's speak to Kayla. Kayla, you're the publicist for this, right? And I've never, I mean, I've come across publicists for big time authors, right? The process of them and then to make sure that people get access to this Bahamian history. How has that process been?
It's been a challenge, but it's been worth it because I am born Bahamian, will die Bahamian, cradle Bahamian. But I lived in the United States for more than half of my life. And coming back home, you know, I reminisce, you know, having, I attended Stephen Dillett elementary school and moved from Stephen Dillett into the Catholic education into St. Augustine's. But, you know, I can't recall, you know, learning about the history of the real true history of the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. So when I read the book, Tales of Guanahani, I was like, I've got to do this. I mean, she asked me about a year ago and I was like, I'm so busy. You know, you have your life and you just, but I was like, no, you know, a child like me needs to learn about our history. And it's been amazing, you know, trying to work with the Ministry of Education, trying to get it vetted by them. Of course, it has to be vetted initially and get it into the hands of children, who are our future. Like I mentioned to Ms. Strawn, we're no longer the future. They are.
So where can I find this book right now?
Right now, this book is on Amazon. Both books are on Amazon.
Okay.
You can get them on Amazon. But we're having three amazing book signings coming up.
Can we detail some about the three amazing
Yes. Thursday, June 12th. At Fort Charlotte. Mm-hmm. We're excited about that. We've partnered with the Historical Society, who has an influx of tourists that are coming to the gift shop area and to the fourth on Thursday, June the 12th. And then Thursday, June 13th. And then on Saturday, June 15th at Logos in Harbor Bay, 7 a.m. until 3 p.m., doing book signings, and then Through the Pages, which is a Bahamian-owned bookstore that carries all Bahamian books. On Father's Day, we're scheduled to have a book signing there from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m.
Okay, I'm excited. I'm excited just because I'm familiar with the Fort Finn Castle area. Mm-hmm. And I've just spoken to the Director of Antiquities, and he's given detailed information what they propose as activities for that area. And then to come today and hear Ms. Strawn talk about details on her experience, living life there, the names of families, how the Bahamas was yesteryears. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to say, man, they need to get this book to have that juxtaposed and included inside their future plan.
In fact, right, they need to get Princess Pratt, our award-winning and premier storyteller, to partner with Mrs. Strawn to offer a book reading, right? A session where storytelling, and she tells stories from the book regularly throughout the day, and then you get students to come in and act out some of them. Because I got one of these things I want to read right now.
Yes,
listen,
let's hear it.
We are on page 48 of Mother's Tales of Back in the Days, right? And this is where they be talking about all the games. Our recreation, Bahamian games, grass dolls, moonshine babies, tops, marbles, scooters, Sawkin, I believe that's what they used to call Pawkin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ring play. ring play.
And Miss Tronny went in detail about the games too to explain?
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, mother encouraged us to play ring play. This was a common dance among school children. The games always encouraged much camaraderie. There was much clapping, stamping, hip shaking, and suggestive moves. Because these deck the old stories, our ancestors from Africa imported them, children never got tired of clapping and dancing to long, fast, rhythmic chants. See, mama know oral history. You pass the way that you pass it down, you encourage the kids to play the games, to repeat the stories, and then to add to it and make up their own story. That's called cultural revolution. Here we go. R-A-T-T-L-E-S-N-A-K-E, spell for rattlesnake. R-A-T-T-L-E-S-N-A-K-E, spell for rattlesnake. Centipede knocked on my door last night. I take it for Johnny Slam Bam. Centipede knocked on my door last night.
I'm not familiar with this one.
You know this one. I take it for Johnny Slam Bam. Man take one, woman take two. Man take one and satisfy. Woman take two and she make a move. You know this. Imagine that this, you know this from a song.
Yes.
This is what where the song
preempted everything.
Entrenched.
Yes,
yeah.
Where it came from. Aaron, we came in an era where they say post-1979. The whole world changed, right? So we born before 1980, where we still spun tops, where we played ring play, where we shot marbles, shoot marbles, right? So even though Miss Strong belongs to a different generation, I can relate to her generation because the things that they started, I concluded with, because I spun top, right? I shot marbles, but I'm not sure if today's children do any of these things.
Let me tell you something that used to happen. I attended Our Lady's School down on DeVoe Street. And from the Fort Hill, we had to walk down every morning to Mass. My mother would ensure that we go to Mass every day. And sometimes you come and you meet a house on a trailer.
You witnessed that.
Where I witnessed that.
When I run hot and pick up my whole house and carry
that's
it.
That's right.
Okay.
And it was simply, and when I researched that, it was because a lot of Bahamians did not own property in those days. So they had to lease. And when that lease was up, either they moved their house or they pay another lease.
The fee,
yes.
Yeah.
My grandfather, who had a house in Sunlight Cottage off E Street.
Yes.
He paid to have his house moved to Hospital Lane. The mind you, the clapboard structure still is there on Hospital Lane there. So I know that story, I'm familiar with that story of moving the whole house.
Do you think that's something that we should revisit at a policy level? The viability of alternate modes of housing and communal structures, that perhaps something similar to that may be more affordable and effective for many Bahamians.
No, I wouldn't want to see Bahamians moving their houses. I would prefer that they're able to get affordable houses, you know, and not even the rental, you know. People need to feel that they own something, to feel that they're part of the Bahamas.
I'm going right there. I'm coming to you right now, caller, producer. Let's get that call. You know, that was one of the most successful or positive things that successive governments have focused on, this idea that home ownership will engender in a person, a family, a community, a sense of pride that will contribute to the overall development of the country.
I think this is why we're having some of the problems. We have people from different countries, and they're here, and they feel that they don't own anything. They're not a part of anything. Mm-hmm. So they try to wreck things. You know?
Ownership means something. I have one text here. Before we go to the call, we have one text here just for you, Ms. Kayla. It says that you mentioned the singing at Fort Charlotte. However, you didn't say what time it's going to be, and they want to say the names of the books again.
Certainly. At Fort Charlotte, we will be there on Thursday, June the 13th, from 12 noon until 2 p.m. And I'll also mention the other two book signings, which is Saturday, June the 15th at Logos Book Harbor Bay from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. And then Through the Pages, which is downtown Nassau, we will be there from on Sunday, June 16th from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. And the two books are Mudder's Tales of Back in the Days and Tales of Guanahani.
Okay, and now we have a caller who wants to engage. Just put on the air plug for Ms. Strong so she can hear the person ask the question. 1 second there, and we'll go. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning, Annie Burrell.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you doing?
You sound like Robert.
You know that.
Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations, Annie Burrell.
Thank you very much.
Annie Burrell, we know how to ask you, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I know in Mother's Tale, right, you got a chapter there about in Bambutan. Remember that Saturday morning? Because every Saturday we used to come and spend a weekend there with you.
Yeah.
I remember that, right?
Yeah.
So, remember when it was on Saturday when you baked that bread, and Annie Burrell, Ms. Andy's like, Beryl, why don't let bread rise, Beryl? Why don't let bread rise? They said, good, hard, and raw.
Thank you. Your Mother's Tale. Thank you.
You got that in the book?
I do.
I can find it.
Okay.
I can find it, Robert. Here are some of the chapters. We have the dedication, the foreword, the introduction. Fort Fincastle, My Birth, The Market, Traveling Artisans. That's where we learn about the ice cellar.
Of course. When you say the market, what do you mean by the market? Is that Bay Street?
Yes, that's on Bay Street. I would like you to read that chapter.
Yes, okay.
If it's possible.
I can come to it. I come into it right now. Never mind the noise of the market, only mind the price of the fish. Don't ever eat the red herring. Just get the things that you wish. Because of the special care that I needed, Mother decided that she would stay at home and take care of her one little corn seed. That's what she used to call you?
That's what she called me. Her one corn seed.
As she fondly called me, mm-hmm. Mother established a petty shop. She started the shop so that she could be independent. It was nothing more than a stall in front of the yard. But because Mother was such an interesting source mm-hmm. of daily news, women from around the Fort Hill would patronize her on a regular basis to purchase fresh fruit and vegetables and to bend conversation. To supply her shop, she needed to go to the market on a daily basis. Mother woke me up every morning to comb and twist my hair and ensure that I was dressed for school before of our home. At daybreak, with me in tow, she headed to the marketplace, which at that time was located in the whole block that now encompasses the buildings on the northeastern section of the British Hilton Colonial Hotel, now the Hilton Hotel on Bay Street. The marketplace extended out to Prince George's Dock and ended where the Ministry of Tourism building was located. The vegetable market, the fish market, the meat market, the straw market, and the early bird food store. Hold on. Dear Perry Christie, you only ever tell us about the straw market.
In fact, my father, Arthur Murray, was a butcher in the market.
In the meat market.
When you're saying all these things, I'm getting flashbacks, right, of a bygone era where my father, where my mother would have told me how the Bahamas was. Mm-hmm. And to have someone who actually lived it in my presence, like that goosebumps feeling, right? Mm-hmm.
There was free movement from one section to the other. The market, as it was called, was the pulse of excitement. It was the place where people exchanged the news of the day while looking for food bargains. I always liked going to the market. The cacophony, clamor, and clatter of the noise of the marketplace intermingled with the reeking stench of the fish, the rank smell of the turtle, and the meat markets were repugnant, yet interesting and exciting. So much so that even today, I still remember the sights, sounds, and smells. There was always something exciting happening in the market. There would be heated arguments and even fights in the market. People threw blows because of their inability to reason or to collect debts from the vendors or the customers. There was at least one murder in the market. We can surmise this from the Bahamian Calypsonian who sang...
Stone Cold Dead in the Market.
Stone Cold Dead in the Market, Giles. Stone Cold Dead in the Market. Stone cold dead in the market, child. She killed nobody but she husband.
We need to have someone just record you to sing the songs. These songs that you're singing have been changed over the years. And then you singing a recollection of the song from its original state.
Yeah.
Surely that needs to be recorded and preserved.
You need to record it in your voice, not this QC, bougie QC voice. Remember, Corinne wouldn't let me off the side porch. She'd lick him in the hair.
Market, Stone Cold Dead in the Market. Stone Cold Dead in the Market, child. She killed nobody but she husband. She lick him in the head with the pot and frying pan. Pot and frying pan. Lick him in the head with the pot and frying pan. Kill nobody but she husband.
Look at there. And he had a calypso voice. It is a time when we were a calypso type nation. Mm-hmm. And then it tells stories of the Bahamas and how the daily living is.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for young people to know, and people, young people in the market right now to know, right, that this is market culture.
Yes.
Now you could change it, right? But don't ever let anybody make you feel like you was something different.
Were you around when the market catch fire? Or that was before you?
No, I was around when the market caught fire.
Which fire? The first or the second?
Not the one recent. I talk about the market.
Tell us about the market
fire. That's before my time. I just know it caught fire. So I got to ask Ms. Stratton if she have any stories about
it. What's a rough date for it? 1940?
I have no clue. Like I said, I know that the market caught fire because that's how my father got to end up working at Mayfair Food Store on East Street as a butcher there. Because something happened to the market.
And the market burned down.
The market burned down. He had to move.
Absolutely.
Condition, Fort Hill. Any other parts of New Providence that you wrote about? Any other?
Yeah, the pond.
You wrote about the pond?
Yeah, I wrote about the pond.
Which chapter are we going to find that in? Okay.
I think that might be
the pump, school days.
School days, yeah.
Number 30. Okay.
You actually read about the pump? And toad and water?
Yeah, definitely.
That's a bite. You ever toad water, Aaron?
Yes, I did have to toad water in the great Hurricane Floyd. It was 2003. I had to toad water for days.
Yeah.
I just saying. I know where I grew up in the bougie side, but I had that experience too.
Yeah,
but we had to tote water just about every day.
That's life.
We had to get water to bathe with. We had to get water to drink. We had to, on Saturdays, we had to tote water to clean the house and also to wash the clothing. And if you notice there, there's a woman in the front mm-hmm. who's hanging out clothes. That was a routine for us.
Mm-hmm. And the house was clapboard.
Mm-hmm, clapboard. So you have to scrub it. You scrub it either with turbid skin or you use soap bush. There's always soap bush planted next to the pump. And I wonder if government did that when I think about it mm-hmm. now, because there was always soap bush. So you had to go and break the soap bush and you had to bring back soap bush and water.
You know about soap bush, Aaron?
I mean, yeah, I know about soap bush and soap nuts. See, when you go to the fancy store, you could buy a box of nuts and you just throw the nuts in the washing machine. But I know about soap bush.
Yeah.
I never used it before, but I know about it.
Yeah.
What I do know is that the pump is such an important part of the Bahamian experience, and it's universal access to water that has saved us. I mean, if there's a manifestation of what it means to be a Christian nation, universal access to water and the continuation of the pump
yes.
is that thing.
One other thing.
Yes, ma'am.
The majority of Bahamians had outside toilets.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about water, that was very important mm-hmm. because you had to keep your toilet clean, mm-hmm. you know? And you had to throw...
Lye? What did you throw inside that?
Lysol? I can't remember what it was called, but it was some lye.
Lye.
Yeah, you had to throw lye. And
now, was cleaning the outhouse a regular chore? Like it rotates?
Yeah, or every Saturday.
Or was it a punishment?
No, every Saturday.
It was just your chores. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But before we go, I want to go back to the publicist, Ms. Kayla, right? Give me the details where people can buy the book. Give me the details of where I can find the book, like and whatever signing is happening right now.
Okay. Once again, the books are available on Amazon as of today. They are available on Amazon for purchase, but we have scheduled book signings for Thursday, June the 13th at Fort Charlotte from 12 p.m. until 2 p.m.
The 15th at Logos from 11 to 3 and at Through the Pages bookstore on the 16th, 11 through 3 p.m.
That's correct.
Good. That's Guardian Radio AM via Facebook.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Tales of Guanahani and Mother's Tales of Back in the Days by Beryl Strawn.
That's okay. Right. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.